Yeah, there's a part of that, Sue, that I think it's important to remember. And you touched on it a little bit, and that is the cause of Peter's sinking wasn't the wind. No, it was the fact that he doubted. And it's no different with us. Amen. But God's there, even in that situation. And our humility to ask for help is a catalyst to get that hand stretched out.
Amen.
I think people forget that repentance starts with us. Repenting. Yeah. It's absolutely key to salvation. Amen. And that message isn't really preached today. You know, the message that I've heard in a lot of modern quote-unquote churches is that you can't help the way you are because God made you that way. I actually heard a guy say that. And I'm thinking, really? Then why does he tell me to put all that off? Amen. Why does he tell me to put off the unbelief and the doubt? If he made me that way and I can't change and his ways are too big for me to understand, but yet he tells me to put it off and he tells me to know him. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems like the gospel that's out there is very contrary to the gospel that is in the Word of God. And that place of humility of going, I was wrong. And we should all start our day with, I am wrong. Jesus, you are right. I wonder how dramatically different lives would be. When you look at the sin in the garden, yes, they ate the fruit of the tree of knowledge between good and evil, but what was the next sin? What was the next thing they did? They sought to justify themselves. They sought to hide it. And do you know what your nature is? Your nature is not to humble yourself before God. Your nature is to justify yourself and try and find any possible way out from under that judgment. And to, if you live in that space, if you live in that place of, it's not my fault. If you live there, you're on the road to hell. Because you can't live there and be in Christ, because the two are contrary to one another. The lie that the enemy puts on you is to tell you that by admitting your failings, by admitting you're wrong, there's somehow a consequence that's really negative to you. Where the only thing is, it's a huge benefit to you. Because on the other side of repentance, there is freedom. There's liberty. There's forgiveness. You know, the Bible says that God writes or wipes out the handwriting of ordinance against us. You know, if there was a tally being kept, you know how they have in the TV shows, they have this rap sheet, quote unquote, you know, and they have these guys, and it's a book. You know, mine's probably the Library of Congress. But when I humble myself and I get on my knees and I repent, the pages are blank. Now, where is the downside in that? Where is the downside in receiving a pardon. You need to tune your radio off of the flesh and onto the spirit. We drive in the car. We were coming back from Kingman. There's a section where there's a station I like. And as you're driving, it flips back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. You know, it's not clear, you know. So I've got to hunt for another station. Well, you know, you got two stations going on, right? You got two signals, let's say. You've got the flesh and you've got the spirit. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, you've got two signals going on. Tune your radio to the Spirit. Listen to that. Listen to that. And it's amazing if you tune your radio to the Spirit and you choose to listen to that over the other guy. I'm not saying everything's going to go hunky-dory, lovey-dovey butterflies in the natural. In fact, gosh, my experience, when you turn your radio to the Spirit and start following after that, things go to heck in a handbasket around you. And it does that because the enemy doesn't want you to stay tuned to that channel. He wants you to flip back to the other channel and be quote-unquote comfortable. He doesn't want you to stay tuned into God. He wants you tuned into Him. He wants to pull you away from that choice and that decision that you made to humble yourself and please God. He wants to tune you away. He wants you to tune into Him and turn you from following God. And we've been reading in our family Bible studies, we bounce between the Old Testament and the New Testament. We're in Deuteronomy in some of it. And we're reading in that thing and the certainty by which the Lord addresses how things are to be handled. If there's someone that is want to turn you away from serving God unto other gods, you are to take them out and kill them, destroy them utterly. Why? Because if you don't, they'll probably succeed. They'll probably succeed. If you don't address it and destroy it and remove it, it's like a cancer. If you're vacillating between one channel or the other, I can tell you, you're going to pick the wrong one eventually. You just are. And Jesus talks about that in, you know, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He talks about no man can serve two masters. Can't do it. You can't. You can't flip back and forth. It's just not going to work. So you need to set your radio dial on the Spirit and bust the stinking knob off so you can't change it anymore. Amen. And if there's anything that tries to bleed over, you just tell it no. No. You continue to point your antenna to the Lord and you reject that, understanding that as enticing and comfortable and all that other side may be. Because, boy, you know, sometimes that old, comfy, snuggly, it just, you know. It's not where you got to be. You know, that song, They That Wait Upon the Lord, that's what we've been learning, right, Sue? Both of us learning. And that wait, as we all know, isn't sitting on your butt. It's about serving the Lord. If you serve the Lord, He will renew your strength, because if you're about His business, He'll give you everything you need to accomplish His business. Amen. If you're about your own business, you're not going to get anything done. Amen. And why would you want to do it anyway if it's not profitable? Oh, we fool ourselves and say it's profitable and, you know, at least that's the experience I've had in my life. But it's not profitable. And if you find yourself in that state, it's sort of like Peter. Oh, darn, I'm sinking. I think he was probably a little bit more dramatic than, oh, darn, I'm sinking, however. Because he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord was there. He humbled himself and cried for help. The Lord saved him. And then the Lord said to him, why'd you doubt? Why'd you doubt, Peter? There's an ever-growing urgency, and I don't know that it ever has, like, stopped, really. I think it's just it's something that's just always there. We're coming up to the conference again. You know, I know that there's going to be a lot of good words spoken. And I hope lives changed. My life, I hope, changes. But we don't have to wait to the conference.
Amen.
To have some great epiphany in the Lord or breakthrough. You can do it right now. Right now. Today. Then it starts with, God, I'm wrong. I am so wrong. And you are right. You're right, Lord. You're right in absolutely everything. And I am wrong in absolutely everything. And I beg your forgiveness. See, there's a scripture in 1 John. It says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, if to believe God is righteousness, at least it was for Abraham, and Abraham believed God, it was accounted unto him for righteousness. It says again that it was imputed unto him for righteousness. So that believing God in the face of all the things that would tell him otherwise, he yet believed God and chose to obey God. Obedience is the proof of belief. But that was accounted to him for righteousness. Then to walk in unbelief is unrighteousness. Now, if the promise of God is that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that cleansing happens the same way we learn to wait on him. See, the end of that song, I wonder if people realize what they're asking for. Teach me, Lord. Teach me to wait. Well, there's only one way you learn that. Through doing it. And doing it again. And doing it again, and doing it again, and doing it again, and doing it again. And hey, you homeschool children, how do they learn? They do it, and they do it again, and they do it again. I play guitar. How did I learn to play guitar? By practicing it again, and practicing it again, until it becomes muscle memory. Do you know if you have physical muscles that can be trained to operate on instinct, that you have spiritual muscles that can be trained to operate on instinct?
Amen.
Do you know that? And that if you allow the Lord to train you and to teach you and to impart unto you that training, regardless of how stressful and how hard and how uncomfortable you may feel it to be at the time, that the end of it is going to yield some amazing fruit. Because imagine, just imagine if your spiritual muscles could be trained to have the muscle memory of the character of God. If it's possible in the natural, it's possible in the spirit. But you don't gain muscle memory in the natural by sitting on your butt and not doing anything. I talk to people about training in firearm proficiency. Did you know that if you don't practice thousands of rounds, thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of repetitions, that if the guy comes to your house to destroy you and your family and your goods, that you can think all the macho things you want, but you're going to die because you have not put in the time. You may have a gun. You may have a stick. You may have a big old bat. But let me tell you what. If you haven't prepared yourself and trained, you're just going to make things worse. And they're going to take that and they're going to beat you to death with it. See, that's what pride does to you. See, that's what pride does. It tells you that just because I have a thing, I'm good. I got this. You ain't either. Now, becoming skillful in anything requires practice in that thing. And the Lord's process to perfect you in Him is a process. And He's given us instructors, and He's given us His Holy Spirit, and He's given us His Word to teach us and instruct us. And if we submit and humble ourselves to that, then we become effective soldiers, both men and women, effective soldiers for His army. An army of faith and not of doubt. That's what we're called to be. Amen. And that happens oftentimes through a lot of mistakes on our part and learning through them and learning how to do different next time. Now, you can get discouraged and give up and quit, a lot like those guys in the military that ring the bell and quit. Or you can understand that there is a graduation and there is an end. And if you stick with it, you will survive. You will make it. And when you come out the other side, all of it will be worth it. There's a scripture in Hebrews that talks about if someone comes to God, he must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You see that that reward is absolutely worth it, and it is certain and it is sure, and it is worth whatever you go through. Because in the end, everything the enemy had ever tried to do is all gone. It's all lost. It's all for naught. And he is standing in the big fat loser space. And you are standing in the winner's circle. And you don't have to wait till October to start walking in that. You can walk in that right now. Right now. And it just starts with, Lord, please help me. I'm falling. You know, this next song I'm going to sort of wrap up with. This was going through my head as I was listening to Brother Phil preach this morning. You know, the circumstance we are in this world, we start in our family, our community, our towns, our cities, counties, states, and nation, etc. The situation we're in is not the fault of the world. The situation we are in is squarely the fault of those that claim to be believers. The world has always been the world. It's our job as believers to be different and to push back the corruption. The fault lies with those that claim to know God. That's the truth. And the Lord has already made a provision for that to change. And He did so thousands of years ago.
Call by my name, shall humble themselves and pray.